First of all, thanks to Colin for his few words of welcome. We do appreciate that. Good to be here today with you in Lurgan, and to Melanie for singing tonight. Thank you. Those were two great pieces. What a friend we have in Jesus and the cross. So we pray that God will bless his word today and bless all the ministry that has gone forth, not only this morning and again tonight. Let's just bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We bless thee that thou art a God who is rich in mercy. And Lord, we pray that men and women might experience that mercy even through the gospel tonight. We thank you that when sinners repent, that when they repent to a God of mercy, a God who has mercy upon them. And we pray tonight, Father, that you would speak to men and women and young people and boys and girls, all that are here this evening. We pray that each one of us might hear your voice, and that those who are without thee, O God, that through the gospel, that they might be drawn to thee and experience that wondrous saving power. Our Father, we realize that we're in a battle against the powers of darkness. We ask, O God, that you would come and, gracious God, defeat the devil and all his emissaries. And we pray that your word might go forth with blessing and with power for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to read with you tonight in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. And if we would read from verse number 21 through to the end. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this: "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word for his name's sake. And Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the king, or the kingdom. It presents the Lord Jesus as the king. The gospel writers present him in a different way. In chapters 5 through to 7, we have this Sermon on the Mount. And on the mountain, the Lord taught his disciples and his followers about the kingdom. And in this portion, he's very near to the end of his sermon. And in verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And that's something that's just as relevant today as it was when he preached it. Beware of false prophets. There's a lot of falsehoods goes about even today. And so we need to beware of them, for they are as wolves in sheep's clothing. And then he says here in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And in verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we see, friends, here how true these words are that the Lord spake here, warning his disciples and his followers about the false prophets and the false teaching that abounded in that day. And you see, when a person says that they love the Lord, you'll know if they do or not by their works. If they say they love the Lord and never visit the Lord's house or open the Lord's word and never seem to act as if they were a Christian or a follower of the Lord, ye shall know them by their works. Or likewise, if somebody says that they have a vision and a burden and want to see people saved and won for Christ and they never go to the prayer meeting, then you shall know them by their works. So the Lord Jesus is bringing his sermon to an end by giving to them this warning. And he's speaking to these people about entering into the kingdom of heaven. And we want to look at that tonight, about entering into the kingdom of heaven. We find here in verse 21 of the chapter, I've called it the clearness of Christ's teaching. The clearness of Christ's teaching. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are some people today, and they believe, or they belong to a group called the Universalists. They believe that everyone will be in heaven. No matter how they live down here, no matter what they do, doesn't matter what sins they've committed, doesn't matter if they've even believed in God. They believe that at the end of the day and the judgment comes, that God is a God of love and he'll gather everyone and he'll gather everyone into heaven. That's what they believe. And you know, the more I look around me today, the more I see that many people, many of the religions of this world, of the denominations, of the people who are termed to be religion, it's becoming more and more like universalism. For example, if somebody dies, that person, maybe they've never been in church since they were baptized or married, and yet the phrase has been used, you know, well, we'll all meet up above. John has gone on and he's looking down on us today. That's the kind of thought life people have today. Hell is never mentioned. It's all right. People everywhere, no matter who they are, whether they should be a terrorist or a murderer or a thief or a robber, in many people's thoughts, they're going to be all right. Sometimes when some of the celebrities pass on from this scene of time, maybe somebody who's a famous footballer or a film star or an entertainer, and death comes to them, and you know, they have a great service of thanksgiving in one of the great cathedrals, and tributes are paid by so many different people. And again, the same idea is that so and so, whoever they are, they've gone on. What they used to do down here, they'll be doing it now up above. They'll be looking down on us. They'll be enjoying what they're hearing and all the rest. No songs are sung, no hymns are sung, usually just pop music or folk music or whatever. And that's what's happening today. That's the world in which we live in. A churchman, many years ago, When I say many, I'm going back into the 60s, where I was alive then, believe it or not. But a churchman, he was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said this on one occasion. He said that atheists who were good and upright would be in heaven. Did you ever hear such a contradiction? A man who's supposed to be well-read, that atheists would be in heaven. Atheists who didn't even believe in God or that there was in heaven. And that is the thought life of men. Well, I'll tell you this tonight, that Jesus didn't believe that. Because he said, not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of God. My, he said, not everyone will be there. Not even those who say, Lord, Lord, can be sure of being there. Not everyone who goes to church. Not everyone who says their prayers. Not everyone who is religious shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he makes it clear that not everyone will be there. And friends, we need to get that tonight. No matter what the world says or people of academic standing says, Jesus says not everyone that will be there. And he makes it clear, then he makes it clear who will be there. Because he says here in this verse, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father. The people who enter into the kingdom of heaven are those that do the will of my Father. That's what Jesus said. Now, what is the will of the Father? Well, I can tell you tonight, and I'm sure you already know, that it's not God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. That's God's desire. But the will of the Father, I believe, we see what the will of the Father is when we come over into Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13 of the chapter, it says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My, what a text. What a promise. Whosoever, did you hear it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the will of the Father that men and women are saved. It's his desire that they would not perish. And so we see here, in order that you would be saved, God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior. Man needed a Savior. God's desire was that people would be saved. So he sent his Son into the world to be the Savior. The Bible says in that great verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And my, Christ came and he went to the cross and he shed his blood and he died for the ungodly, the Bible says. My, he bore my sins in his body. He offered a sacrifice for sin. And he was so pleased, God, by that sacrifice, that the third day he rose again to be the Savior. And my, whosoever believeth in him, my, if they come and repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ, God's promise is that they shall never perish, but have everlasting life. So the will of the Father is that you would be saved. And the gospel presents Jesus Christ as the only Savior. It says here in chapter 10 of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And so God provided a means of salvation, and he raised up gifted men who were preachers to proclaim the message of the gospel. And my, the gospel went out, and people believed, and they entered in to the kingdom of heaven. They entered in to faith with Jesus Christ. And then it says here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. You see, friends, you believe or you obey the gospel by repenting of your sins and receiving Christ as your Savior. The gospel is good news. It's good news for all and sundry. We're to go in all into all the world. That's the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world and we are to preach the gospel, bring the message of good news, that there's a Savior, that there's salvation, that there's redemption through Christ's blood, that men and women, in spite of their sins, can be redeemed and gloriously saved. But friends, they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Remember, Peter said the judgment must first begin at the house of God. And he says, you know, the gospel must be preached. And my judgment will come who of them who have not obeyed the gospel of God. So you see the clearness of Christ's teaching. The clearness of it. There's no ambiguity here. There's no confusion. He makes it clear that not everyone will be there. And he makes it clear who'll be there and who won't in the kingdom of heaven. The clearness of Christ's preaching. And then, when we go back to our chapter in Matthew's Gospel, in the next verse, in verse 22, he says, many will say unto me in that day, many will say unto me, in verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things? You see, you have not only the clearness of Christ's teaching, but you have the claims of the Christless crowd. The claims of the Christless crowd. Many will say, Lord, Lord, my, we have done this and that and the other thing. Listen to what they will say. Listen to what they will say. You see, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful things. My, they're telling the Lord what they have done. It's not what they're saying. They're telling him what they have done. My, we have almost the very same words over in Luke chapter 13. Lord, Lord, open unto us. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and so on. My, these people had done, they had done everything but the will of God. They've done everything but what they needed to do. They claimed to have done many wonderful works, but that didn't include the will of God. For the will of God was that they would repent and believe. And there's many people today, and they make the same claims as these people made when our Lord preached unto them. It's all about what they have done. They have done so many wonderful things. And my, they could say the same as these people in the chapter. You know, people are prepared to do anything but the will of God. They're prepared to bake if there's a big night on in the church. They're prepared to bake buns and make sandwiches. My, you could fill a room with them. They're prepared to bake. My, they're prepared to give money, they're prepared to do manual labor. My dear friends, they're prepared to do so many things. But ask them to come to Christ, and that's where it stops. In the days of Noah, people would do anything but enter into the ark. Noah preached, "My many long years," and the people heard the gospel. But they were not prepared to enter into the ark. The gospel was that a provision had been provided. The door was open, and all they had to do was enter in. But they were not prepared to do it. Naaman the leper was prepared to wash in any river but the one that the prophet told him to wash in. He said, "Are not Abana and Pharpah better than all the rivers of Israel?" And Paul says that the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And you see, friends, tonight as we look out, people will do anything but bow the knee to Christ. These people talked about what they had done, but the one thing they hadn't done was repent of their sins and believe the gospel. They talk about their works and about their church, but the Bible makes it clear that we're not saved by works. It's according to His mercy that the Lord saved us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. You see the clearness of Christ's teaching, and you see the claims of the Christless crowd. And then you see the calamity of Christless religion here in verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now these people were professing to have done many things in the name of the Lord, but the Lord will say to them, "I never knew you." They said, "We have eaten and drank in thy name and done many wonderful things." And the Lord says, "Hold on a wee minute. I don't even know you. I never knew you." He'll not say, "I used to know you, but now I don't." He will say, "I never knew you." What a calamity to spend your life trying to do as many works, good works, righteous works as you can. But then the Lord says at the final day, "I never knew you." Sometimes we talk about knowing the Lord. That is knowing Him as your Savior. Come with us tonight. Do you know the Lord? Well, you might come to this church. You might term this church as your church. But do you know the Lord? Or does He know you? My dear friends, we see here the clearness of Christ's teaching and the claims of the Christless crowd and the calamity of Christless religion. And then you see the condemnation of this Christless people in verse 23 here. He says, "And then will I profess unto you, I never knew ye, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." You know, these people profess these good works, but they have not done the will of the Father. They have not done the most important thing that any individual or human being needs to do. As God gives them life and as God gives them years in their life, the most important thing that I ever did was a young man of 18 when I got down on my knees and cried to God for mercy. When I got down before God and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be lost, but I believe that your Son died for me and shed His blood and rose to be my Savior. And here and now I call on thee for mercy and ask the Lord to save me." That's the most important thing that I've ever done. And that's the greatest thing that you can ever done. And if you haven't done it yet, I would say to you tonight, do it tonight, friends. Because not everyone will enter into the kingdom of God. But they that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Do you remember the Lord Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees one day? And the scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. Why they live by the law. And Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, who indeed seemed beautiful without. Oh, they looked good on the outside. Everything stroked everything on the outside. He says, who are indeed seemed beautiful without, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And the Lord says the same to the scribes and Pharisees today. Hope, friend, you're not a scribe and Pharisee tonight. Hope that you're honest before God and that you will realize that not everyone will enter in to the kingdom of heaven. You know, today, the Lord is saying, come. That's what he's saying today. That's what the gospel message is all about. That's what the invitation is tonight. Come. The Lord Jesus holds out his hands to men and women tonight, to young people in this meeting. And he says, come unto me. This is the day of grace. And the message is, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, friends, in a day to come, he will say, depart. If you don't know him, and he has to say, I never knew you. When you do come and it's too late, when you do come and it's too late, he'll say, depart, ye cursed, into everlasting destruction. Many have done their best will have to depart. Many who have done good works will have to depart. Many who have been faithful in their attendance, if they don't know Christ, if they've never been born again, then there is no way in. I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That brings me to my last point tonight. I'll call it the consideration of Christless souls. Because the Lord Jesus in his preaching, he uses these two illustrations to impress upon people the need for preparation. To make the right preparation, you need the right foundation. Look at verse 24 if you have your Bible still open. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, those that hear these sayings of mine, he that heareth these sayings and obeys them is likened to a man who built his house upon a rock. The rock is a solid foundation. If you're going to build anything, you're looking for a good solid foundation. The rock is a solid foundation. The rock is a secure foundation. The rock is a steadfast foundation. And the house that was built upon the rock, when the test came, it stood the examination. In verse 25, yea, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, the house that was on the rock stood the test. Dear friend, I'm standing tonight and I'm depending on the rock. And I hope you are. One of the names that's given to Christ in his word is the rock. He's the rock of ages. And the wise man or the wise woman, they build for eternity. They build on eternity by standing on a rock. When your faith is founded in Christ, that foundation will stand the test of time and for eternity, friend. Where are you tonight? Are you on the rock? Have you got a good foundation? Then he likens in verse 26, and he says, every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon this house, and it fell, for great was the fall of it. He likens those who don't obey his sayings, that don't obey his gospel, to the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. This man's house had no foundation. The first storm came and removed it. He who hears with the outer ear, but takes no heed of the truth of God, is only building on sand. My dear friend, tonight, when that house is put to the test, great will be the fall of it. I wonder what you're building on tonight. Wonder what foundation you're depending on. Some are building on their good works, and some on opinions, and others on the church. I want to tell you, when the test comes, your house will fall. To make preparation, we need the right foundation. And if you have no Savior, then you have no foundation. You haven't made preparation for the eternal welfare and being of your soul. Remember what Jesus says? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Stories told about a man, I'm sure many of you have read about him, Bishop Taylor Smith. He was the Bishop General in the British Army for many years. And he was a great preacher. He let people know what they needed to know. And he went to preach at a congregation on one occasion, and the archdeacon welcomed him, and Bishop Smith got up to preach, and he preached on that great text in John chapter 3, ye must be born again, and he emphasized it to the people that they needed to be born again, because except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, and that Jesus said, look, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And you know, Bishop Taylor Smith pointed out to the people, said, you might be a good man or a good woman. You might be a church goer. You might read your Bible. But except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, you know, you may have been brought up in a Christian home and taught from your youth and sent to Sunday school, but except you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he pointed to the archdeacon in the stall, who was just over at the side here. He says, you may have got to the top like my dear friend the archbishop, but you can even become an archbishop, and if you haven't been born again, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. A few days later, a letter arrived at the bishop's home. And he opened the letter. And the letter said, dear bishop, you have found me out. When you said on Sunday past, you may be like the archbishop or the archdeacon, but if you're not born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. He says, bishop, that was me. I was that archdeacon. And he said, you know, I've went through the church all my life, but I've never been born again. I'm not saved. I'm not ready. Wonder would it be possible for me to come to your house and discuss these things further with me. And so the bishop returned his letter and said, by all means, my young man, please come as soon as possible. And so within a day or so, the archdeacon arrived at the bishop's home and went in. And Bishop Taylor Smith explained to him the way of salvation. How that he needed to be saved. How that he needed to repent and believe the gospel. For this was the will of God, that he would repent. And that's the will of God, friend. We need to repent and we need to believe and trust Christ. And there the bishop led him to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, don't leave it until the last, until it's too late. Trust your standing. Trust your depending tonight on him who is the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, that we're hiding in Christ and trusting in him in these days for the eternal welfare of our never-dying souls. May God speak to our hearts tonight and challenge us this evening. And if you're here, you'd like to have a chat about it, chat to some of the men, the elders, and so on, then don't hesitate to do that. If you realize tonight that you don't know the Lord and that he doesn't know you, may God challenge us and bless his word for the glory of his name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity and the clarity of the Savior's teaching. We thank you that what Jesus said was truth. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. We pray tonight that those that are here without thee, Lord, that indeed that you would stop them on the road of life, that you would speak to them again, that you would bring them to that place of decision, that place of repentance, that place of faith, and that they might come to know thee tonight as their own personal Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you've been saving in the past. Lord, continue to do so at this time. Now part us in your fear and with your blessing, and take us to our homes in safety. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.